Well, good morning and welcome to Grace Point Online. We're glad that you could join us today. Well, I don't know about you, but there's been times in the last little while, especially in this last week, where if you haven't watched the news for 2 or 3 days and then you turn it on and all of a sudden your jaw drops and you wonder what in the world is going on. This past week was one of those weeks for me, or one of those times where it seems like the world's totally out of control, and especially with our neighbors to the south. But our world's changed around us. Yesterday I was out, I do a little, it's about a 5K walk around our ring road that we live off of. And one of the awkward things that happens now is if I'm walking on the sidewalk and somebody's walking towards me, we start doing this little dance of who's going to go on what side and where to jump and all that kind of stuff. And so I had one of those weird moments yesterday with a gentleman who was coming towards me, and we kind of did the awkward go this way, go that way, and then we kind of passed about 6 feet apart, and we kind of had a little nervous laugh as we went by, and that's just the weird world that we are living in. But welcome today. We're glad that you could join us. And I want to remind us that our hope isn't in ourselves. And where we left off last week, Hebrews chapter 12, is that our hope is in Jesus. He's the author, the perfecter of our faith. And so we want to keep our eyes focused on Him, our eyes lifted up towards Him, because actually if we look at ourselves, within ourselves, to fix ourselves, we're not going to get very far. So let's keep our eyes focused on that. And in the world that we live in, where you may be feeling some anxiety and some worry, we are starting a new series today that will help us take some of that anxiety and see how we can thrive in the world that we're living in as we allow Christ really to live out faith within us as we put our trust in Him. So before we pray, we do have a couple of announcements that we want to let you know about. All the information that you need about just about everything that's going on right now at Grace Point can be found on our website. And so that's the primary place where you need to go to. If you have prayer requests, you can go there. You go under Contact Us, and there's a place in there where you can find and go down and write out a prayer request that gets sent to us, and we will pray for you. As well as upcoming services, whether they're here or online, we're going to plan online for now. As you know, things are, looks like they're going to stay about the same for the next little while, but go to our website. As well, we want to thank you for our Christmas offering that we took at Christmas Eve. Kind of around that time, we do a special offering, and this year our total came in at $22,775 were donated to special projects around the world and locally as well. So thank you for that. That was wonderful and very encouraging for all of us, and hopefully encouraging for you as well. Well, just before we go to our worship and song, would you join me as we pray together? Father, thank you that you are unchanging. You are a God who is rock solid, and we can stand on you. And the more we look at ourselves, the more we have lots of questions about maybe who we are and how, and our ability to change just about anything. But Father, you ask us to put our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And we put our eyes on you. We have an anchor in the midst of stormy times. So Lord, as a church and as wherever we're sitting right now, wherever we're listening, may our eyes be on you. May our anchor be in you, and we invite your Spirit to open our hearts to hear from you in a way that will give us hope in this world and give us a chance to love others from a love that isn't from within us, but a love that comes from you. So thank you for that. And Lord, hear our worship as we sing now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Darkness seems to hide His face. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high, in the stormy gale, my anchor holds within a veil. Dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone,
but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. am a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, He has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died.
Just pray with me. Father, it's so good to know that we have a place where we belong. We need this place just to find rest and peace. In this kind of world that we live in, and sometimes also the whirlwind that unfolds around us, thank you that we are reminded through this time of worship that we are your children, that you care for us, that you have welcomed us in. And this morning, as we worship together and by also listening to your word, we pray that this word may be spoken deep into our hearts and into our lives. Thank you that we can meet you wherever we are this morning, whether we live in our living rooms or wherever we watch this online service. We know you are present. You are not defined and confined by a building, by a house. You're everywhere. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there you say, I am with them. I am right among them. So let us experience that this morning as we gather together. Let your word speak into our lives. Let us hear your voice. This we pray in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Well, how has 2021 been for you so far? Well, you have lived in it for almost 1.5 weeks, 10 days, and did it make any difference? Have you made every day count? Remember that we reminded you last week to take the first 100 days and make them count. Let every day be lived in a way that this day is special. And how about New Year's resolution? Are you one of those who makes New Year's resolutions? It seems like, at least to me, there are less this year than there were last year. Maybe it's because of the circumstances, and maybe it's because we cannot go to the gym and see how it's ram-packed at the new year. Anyhow, but it's always a unique time, the time after Christmas and New Year's. It's a time that we try to get back to our normal routine and take hold of some routines in our lives and even to take control of our lives. We may be saying that, well, maybe we should get back to our eating habits and get them under control after eating so much sweets and junk food. Let's go back to healthy eating or working out or whatever we need to do just to get that back under control. Some of us may just have to work on the finances. Well, we may have overdrawn the credit card again, and now we have to make plans to pay it back and to get our finances under control. Or we need to go to bed earlier. The last couple of days, between Christmas and New Year's, you stayed up late, you may have watched some movies, or you just had Zoom calls with your family and you were just up late. Now it's time to go to the to the good old routine, go back to work, and you have to go back and go to bed earlier. And then kids, well, they have to go back to school. I know it's online this week still, but they have to go back to the good old routine, and even that takes some kind of effort to go back to what we used to be. So we need to take control, and that is usually the time of the year that we do this. We start out with the best intentions, want to get healthier, want to do what is good for us, and maybe even this year you look especially for the vaccine, to be vaccinated against COVID, and then life hopefully will go back to normal. Whatever it is, a new year, as I've mentioned, is a good start. It's a new beginning. It's good to bring something back to where it's supposed to be and where it should be. However, as much as is it good to get back on track, we also know that there are some things out of our control, some things we cannot control, and there are several elements to that. First of all, I myself. I'm the worst enemy when it comes to taking things under control. Why? Because most people lack the resolve and the discipline to stick with new disciplines and to stick with a new way of life. It takes an enormous amount of effort to change my routine, to change and to do something different. And you and I, you probably can tell stories how long it lasted to go to the gym or to work out or to do something or to even eat healthy. So we are often our own enemies when it comes to controlling our life. Then I cannot control the reaction and responses of other people. I have no control about that. Also, I cannot control circumstances that I find myself in. I cannot control the weather. I cannot control sickness. I cannot control the pandemic that we're in. I cannot control tragedies that may happen to us or to others in our family. Things that I cannot control and come often as a surprise, and we have to deal with that. I simply cannot control outcomes. Outcomes of my action. As much as we often put so much effort into that. We want to impress people. Well, we know that slogan, dress to impress. You know, we dress a certain way to impress or to make a certain impression on people. However, I cannot control how they react to that. And then we often take so much effort and thought and put so much thought into that. How can I be liked? How can people like me? So we act a certain way, we speak a certain way, we do certain things to be liked and to be in. So it's all part of trying to control the outcome, that people like me. And as much as I try, and as important as it is to take care of myself and take care of certain actions, some things I cannot control. They will take me by surprise. We heard Pastor Sid before referring to what's happening down south of the border. And if you just even look around us, even what COVID has done to us, how our life has changed and being impacted and so out of control, how does it make you feel as you look into 2021? Do you feel anxious, fearful, afraid? If we would look around us, and I observe it in so many encounters that I have, how anxiousness and fearfulness is the underlying mood in which people live. Do you? Are you fearful, anxious? You know, fear is a powerful, powerful agent. It can overtake our minds and my actions and even my body. Fear is a slave master and a bad one for that. And as we stand at the threshold of a new year and a pandemic that is still raging around us, and yes, the glimmer of hope that is there that maybe this year it might be over and we can go back to normal, fear and anxiety can still be very overwhelming. It can also make us feel helpless, depressed, hopeless. The question is now, what do you do with that? If you stop for a moment, and you know, interestingly enough, many don't even do that. Stop for a moment. So if you stop for a moment and ask yourself, so how do I want to live? How do I want to live this year? And this year, by the way, is made out of days. How do I want to live my days? How do I want to live today? What do I want to have control over me this year? Is it that I just, well, you know what, I just keep holding my breath, just get through it, and just make it through it somehow, don't worry too much about it? Well, that's one philosophy. Or we just go with the flow, whatever, I can change anything anyhow, so let just happen, whatever happens, and I just deal with it. So I hopelessly and helplessly float in the ocean of that we call life, and let it be drifting me wherever it is, and I will just get back on my feet. Well, to be honest, I think this is the attitude of the fewest people. Most of us do live with some kind of fear, some kind of worry, some kind of interest in where my life is going to be. So how is this life and how is this year for you to supposed to unfold? Surviving? Or as we has chosen this sermon series, thriving? Here's what I suggest. The best way to thrive, even in the most difficult circumstances, is not something that just comes to us accidentally. And let me be quite honest, even for, and especially for us as Christ followers, it doesn't come to us just because we pray. Wow, I know that sounds now very dangerous, but it is true. It is not that all of a sudden when I pray, God is just filling me with all these kinds of different attitudes, and all of a sudden I can thrive and go through this life with a different attitude. No, it won't happen. There's a little word that may help, and that is preparedness, to prepare. And yes, we can take everything to an extreme. There's this whole group of people that we have seen probably on TV who prepare for doomsday. They live and have bunkers, you know, in their backyard, and they have stockpiled food and have guns and whatever they have to prepare for the worst case scenario. Well, be them who they are, they do at least something. Not that I think it's the smartest thing to invest your energy in that, but they prepare. But let's look at this from a different perspective. If you, for example, take as a goal for this year that you might want to climb a mountain, or you go for a long bike ride, and you want to go for 150 kilometers, or you want to run a 10K run or even a marathon, what are you going to do? Just live your life, go with the flow, and when the day comes, then you just do it. Really? No, you prepare. You start training. You start working out. You start getting ready for it. For whatever goal you have set, you start preparing. And when it comes, it will still be hard enough to get through this, but you are prepared. And you know what? You can do the same for your inner being. Some may call it for your soul. You can do it for your soul. You can prepare your heart and your mind for all kinds of scenarios that may happen. As I've mentioned before, sometimes we live our Christian life in such a way that we say, well, when the crisis comes, I pray and God will help me through that. And please don't get me wrong. That's perfectly right that we do that, that we should pray. But what is not right about this is not to prepare and not to use the time that we have, the good times, the times when we live our normal life, to live in such a way that I prepare my inner heart and my soul for the time of crisis. So the next several weeks, we want to listen to what the Apostle Peter has to say to Christians in what is now to be modern Turkey. A group of Christians in different places, wherever they assembled, they suffered constant threats, harassment from their neighbors, from government officials, even from family and friends. And Peter was writing to them this letter, trying to help them to survive through this, not just surviving, to live a life that is in such a way that is thriving through those difficult circumstances. So what I want to suggest for you to do is dust off your Bible, take it out of your shelf, wherever it is, or it's on your iPad or phone, wherever you read your Bible, just take it out and open it to the New Testament and in there to the first letter that Peter writes to this group of Christians there in the Middle East, 1 Peter. You find it before 2 Peter and after James. And as much as the Bible is a collection of ancient letters that were written, books and letters that were never written to be part of the book that we call Bible, it is still the place through which God has spoken to us over centuries and speaks to us today. So I want to challenge you over the next several weeks, open your Bible and read with us through the first letter of Peter to these churches. And today, we just want to read the first two verses. So if you have your Bible handy, just open it up with me and read it with me. By the way, I know there's tons of different translations. Why don't you go and buy a new translation for this year? While some may stick for the New James Version, and some have the New International Version, and some have the English Standard Version, and the American Standard Version, I know tons of different versions out there. Why don't you get a new one? And read the Bible with this new translation, a new challenge, and it may give us new perspective in how things sound on a different translation. So here it is, 1 Peter 1, 1 and 2, and I read from the New International Version. It is like this: Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles, scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled in his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Wow, that's a mouthful. Very condensed. A lot of stuff in here. Let me just go through this very quickly this morning and crystallize out of those few verses several questions that may help us, if we ask them and answer them, to help us to get a head start in helping us through preparing, going through difficult situation and whatever this new year may bring. So first of all, we find in those first two verses who this letter is from. It's from Peter. And most scholars believe it was from Peter, but there's also other voices, but we assume it is from him. Peter is very familiar in the New Testament, a New Testament figure, and I think even those who are not very acquainted with Christianity have heard about Apostle Peter. Nevertheless, the Catholic Church builds the whole papacy on Peter. Peter was one of the first disciples of Jesus. He was a fisherman. He came from Bethsaida. His nickname that Jesus gave him was Rock. He was the rock, Petra. And he was one of the 12 disciples. And he was one of those who always was the first when there was some comment to be made. And his words were not always the smartest, and his comment wasn't always the smartest. But he was one of those who was very impulsive in all his reaction. He made the first dramatic announcement that Jesus is the Son of God. But he was also the first who denied Jesus. He was instrumental in the early churches when the first breakthrough came with the new movement, the followers of Jesus Christ. He miraculously escaped from prison and he journeyed, obviously, to Rome. And we assume that he wrote this letter while he was in Rome. It could also be that it was at Silvanus, who is mentioned at the very end of the letter, that he was involved in writing the letter, which would explain that why this letter is in such fluent Greek. It was written actually in Greek, and not just not classic Greek, but one of those dialects. But it was very fluent. It's one of the letters, by the way, it's the hardest to translate, believe it or not. So we also find not that Peter most likely has written the letter. We also find who he wrote the letter to. We refer to them already. Churches in Western, Northern, and Central, what was now be Turkey, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, all provinces, ancient provinces of what would now be known as Turkey. There were churches and small, and if we talk about church, we always think of buildings and sophisticated organizations. It was not like that in those days. Churches was just assemblies of Christians, usually in houses where they met together and they organized their life together in regular worship services. And they were there, started probably by Christians who participated in Pentecost in Jerusalem several years ago, where there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and people turned to the message of Jesus Christ in drones, 3,000 in those days. And some assume that those who were there traveled back home and brought and took with them the message of Jesus Christ. So this leads me to my first observation. Remember, we're talking about how we can prepare for all circumstances of life and for 2021. How can we thrive no matter what life will throw at us? Here's the first question that will help us to understand, to prepare our minds for whatever may hit us. The question is, what is true about myself? Interesting question. What is true about myself? So how do I get there? Well, preparedness has, first of all, to do with my mind. my clear thinking, that I have a clear concept of what is going on, who I am. Think of first responders. I don't know whether you have a chance. I worked for some years with a group of first responders, and I know the one thing that you learn is that you trust the routine, you trust what you learn to keep your mind focused when the crisis comes. You cannot just sit there if you are called to an accident and say, oh my goodness, what is going on here? No, you have to have a clear mind and to have a prepared mind, an orderly mind to know what's going on and to do act properly. So the first thing in preparedness is to have a clear mind. And it starts with the question and answering the question, what is true about myself, no matter the circumstances? So how do I get to this? It's interesting how Peter addresses the recipients of this letter. He talks to them as God's elect, as exiles, or as chosen ones. Wow, these are hefty words. But these words were well known to Jewish readers because they grew up with these kinds of words, because that's how they thought about themselves. They understood themselves as people who existed because God, Yahweh, chose them in Abraham. It was so deeply ingrained in their psyche to understand we are chosen by God. God has wanted us in Abraham. We are his descendants. We belong to him. We are people by God's choice. So, and Peter uses this to address the recipients of this letter, chosen ones. And then the other word that he uses, exiles. The Jewish people were also very familiar with this concept of exiles, of not living in the home country, of living in a foreign country as a foreigner who doesn't really belong there, but who has to live there for a while. And it's interesting now that Peter chooses these words to address the recipients of the letter. Why? First, Peter does not address them in terms of the way that we usually address and think of people, in terms of their ancestry, their moral background, their social status, their wealth, their poverty, or wealth or poverty, or any other category that we usually put people in. You know, to be honest, if you see people, if you know people, you know their name, you often judge them by what they do for a living, how much money they have, and what ethnicity they have, and all the other categories, how we address people. And that's how we think about people. But Peter doesn't mention any of that. He just says, chosen. Chosen. He addresses them of what they have become because they became followers of Jesus Christ, followers of the way, how they were known in those days. That's how he addressed them. You are chosen. And you are living as exiles right now. You're not living at home, no matter where you are. You are actually citizens of two countries. You are dual citizens. You're exiles. You live in a foreign country. Yes, you are a Canadian, and you live here as a Canadian, but you're also part of a new country, of the kingdom of God. And with this, Peter opens a new dimension of their life. You are not just, and let's think about this, you are not just what you have become because of your family of origin, because of your choices that you made, bad or good, because of the job that you have, how much money that you have or not have, or whether you are have a family or a single or whatever. You are not just that. You're way more. You're chosen. You're chosen by God because God has wanted you. And it's also interesting that Peter uses these words, these Jewish words, to address a mainly Gentile audience. Most of the Christians in those churches that he addressed were actually Gentiles. non-Jews. And he uses these words for them. And that also has a meaning. It means that what God has done and begun with these people, the Jews in Abraham, he is continuing, and you are now part of this story. You are part of this story. You are part of those ones who are chosen in Abraham. And yes, you are exiles, but God has wanted you, and God wants to do his, fulfill his purposes with you. And as I've mentioned before, as Christians, we live a double life. We live as citizens of this world, but at the same time, citizens of God's kingdoms, therefore exiles. You live here as a stranger in this world. Your home is somewhere else. Knowing what is true about myself is an essential part of being prepared. It determines, now listen to me, it determines whether I fall apart or whether I can keep the wits to myself and get through this. Or whether I, as we say it with our theme here, that whether we thrive. No matter, listen, no matter what happens to you, no matter what you will encounter this year, no matter what this day will bring or the next, you are chosen by God. You are his child. And if you have difficulty with this word chosen, then think of yourself as an adopted child of God. Adoption means God has chosen you. At some point of time, he picked you to be his child. He said yes to you. He chose you. He adopted you into his family. And it doesn't matter how you have become and who you have become as a person with all the bad choices, God invites you into his family and you are part of his plan. That is true of you. And listen, his yes to you will never change. He will stick with you no matter what's going on in your life, what you're going through, and what you're facing this year. So first thing, what is true about myself? I am chosen by God. I am his child. I'm his adopted son or daughter. And secondly, we have to consider what is true about my situation and my circumstances. The recipients of this letter we mentioned, and as we go through the letter, we will learn more about this. But they suffered tremendous hardships. They were living in a religious society. We should never forget that. They did not live really in a non-religious society. They were very religious. So, and in this society, all that happened was traced back to the gods. That the gods were either merciful to them or the gods were angry and wrathful to them. That's why bad things happened. So, and if you live now as a Christian in that kind of society, and if you refuse to pray to the gods that you have usually prayed, guess what happens? People would think, well, these bad luck and these bad things that happen to us is because of you. You have not prayed and are not praying to our gods. You pray to your exclusive God there. So it's your fault. So Christians were easily blamed for anything that went wrong in the lives of the society, of the cities they lived in the families, and sometimes their workplaces. And that was tough. To live and to be blamed for what they actually were not guilty of, but that's how it was. So in the eyes of the people, those Christians were a threat. But in God's eyes, and that's what Paul and Peter tried to make clear, they were holy, they were precious, they were called, they were wanted, they were chosen. Can you imagine how much of a comfort that was to think of who I am? People around me, they speak all kinds of curses over me and think I'm the worst of the worst, but God has chosen me, he loves me, he cares for me. Interestingly enough, and as I said, we'll get to that as we go through this letter, Peter never incites a revolution among them and said, stand up against the government, do something against them. He never says that. In fact, in the letter, he encourages to be faithful to the government, to respect them. It's an interesting thing to think about, especially during the time that we are going through. So these are the circumstances that they're facing. So, and in these circumstances, Peter reminds them, you are loved by God. You are loved by God. No matter what happens, you are loved by God. God did not remove the suffering. God did not remove them out of the suffering. God did not change the circumstances for the first Christians. But Peter reminded them that God is with them and that they're chosen by God, and that God is fulfilling his will through them. So what is true about you? What is true about the challenges that you're facing? What is true about the situation that you're facing right now? Do you think things are out of control? God has. Or can you think about the fact that this is God who still is in love with you and who goes with you through that? Peter reminds his readers that God has chosen them for a purpose. Listen to that. And it sounds now very dense, but listen to that. It's verse 2. You who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Wow, this is a lot of Old Testament talk. But this is what it basically means. God has set you aside for a certain purpose. And that means he set you aside to be a signpost of the new reality, the new world, the new kingdom that has been brought into this world. That means being sanctified, being set aside by the work of the Holy Spirit. Holiness, actually, from the word, doesn't mean anything different than just simply being set aside. Being set aside for a certain purpose. This new world has come and has brought into this world through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And through his death and his resurrection and the indwelling Spirit in you, God has set you apart. You are a living signal of a new world. Therefore, you are holy. See, holiness has not so much the aspect of living differently. It does have it. Yes, it does. But this is not the only thing, and we often get so focused on that. Oh, you have to be different, and then you have to. The sanctifying work is a work that takes time. It's a time of discipline, a time of committing yourself to Jesus and to God and to living a constant life with him, which will change you. It will change your character. But the first and foremost truth is you are simply set aside. Set aside for God's purpose. You're not living here for yourself anymore. You live for him, for God. And you are his friend. I just listened or read this week, interesting aspect that just changed my whole aspect in this. Discipline or discipleship as friendship. So how would that change your outlook on following Jesus? That is friendship. The disciplines are a way of maintaining a friendship. Isn't that cool? Friendship. You live with Jesus as a friend. What do you do with friends? You spend time with friends. You share your life with friends. You listen to them, and you are invited to be God's friend and to live with him. This is how we will eventually be changed. So what is true about your and my circumstances? One thing is true. They will never separate me from the love of God. Can you trust in that? No matter what you're going through, they will never separate from the love of God and the purposes that God has for you. And lastly, not just what is true about yourself, what is true about the circumstances, what is true about God? God is referred to in this greeting as a God who chooses, a God of foreknowledge. Actually, the word, interesting, that is here, foreknowledge, is a word that you know very well. It's prognosis. That's the word, prognosis. So God is introduced here as a God who does not act randomly, A God who is not capriciously doing this or that and gets up in the morning and he wonders, what am I going to do now? God is introduced to us as a God who decides, a God who chooses, and a God who follows through on what he says. That's what the text says. And we make a whole bunch of theology out of that, unfortunately. God is consistent. God accomplishes what he sets out to do, and God is doing what he decides to do. This is what this text says. God is faithful. That's how we summarize that. God is faithful. He does what he is supposed to do. And I am in the hand of a faithful God. And if God has decided to love you, if God has decided to be part of your life and for you to become his child, then God has made this decision firm, and he will never withdraw his love from you. This is how Paul says it. A text that I love and that has been one of my greatest comfort in most difficult times, and maybe yours as well. You can read it up in Romans 8, 34, 5 through 39, and read the whole context. But listen, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep who are being slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors because of him and through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death or life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's you and my God. He made his love sure to you and to me. And with this, we start into this new year. Prepare yourself. How do you prepare? You start a discipline. You start working out, and you start working out your spiritual muscles. And it starts with getting your Bible out and start reading, because it is the Word of God through which he speaks today. Immerse yourself in it and read it through this lens of what is true about me. What is true about my circumstances? What is true about God? And as I immerse myself, I get more secure in those truths and focus on them. And this is what you need to do. Focus on what is true. It's interesting, this past weeks I got a book for Christmas. And in this book, it was written that Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, both of them are close friends. And it's not a Christian book. It was about financial planning and success and all this stuff. And Warren Buffett and Gates were together, and as they were together, they were interviewed. The interviewer asked him to write down on a piece of paper one word with which they would describe what was most important for their success. Independently, without knowing, each one wrote the same word. You know which one it is? Focus. Focus. Focus your attention. That was the whole chapter about. Focus your attention. Don't get distracted right and left with all the things you could potentially do and all the other stuff. Focus. Focus is to concentrate my mind on a certain goal, on something that is true. And that's what I would like to challenge you for this second week of the new year, almost third week of this new year. Focus. Concentrate on what is true about yourself. You are a child of God. You are chosen. You are wanted. God wants you to be part of his family. Your circumstances are never bigger than God is, never more powerful than God is. God will always be more powerful than that, and he will always love you. He will always turn and keep his face turned towards you, even if you turn your face away from him. He will love you and he will hold you. Is that something you can live with? Do you think that would help you to get through this year and maybe through this day and the next challenges that are coming up? I hope so. Here's a watch a movie or a short video clip that may summarize this and prepare us to enter with this kind of mindset into 2021. Please pray with me. Yes, Father, as we are at the threshold of this new year 2021, you know very well the circumstances in which we find ourselves in. You know that COVID is still raging around us. We're still living under those restrictions. We still live in a world that seems to be very chaotic, where things seem to be out of control. There may be so many things that may be frightening us. Maybe there are some things that we know that we will have to face this year, some of the uncertainties that will come and some uncertain outcomes of some procedures that I may even have to undergo. God, you know all that. We might be worried for ourselves. We might be worried for our loved ones. We might be worried for our children. We might be worried for our job. We might be worried about our finances. God, whatever it is that is still on our minds, let's hear and listen to what Peter had to share with us through his letter that he wrote. Help us to be reminded that we are chosen by you. We are your beloved sons and daughters. We're adopted in your family, and we are safe there because you, as the perfect Father, watches over us. You watch over us with love and kindness, with grace, and yes, also with helping us to become more like you, which takes discipline, which takes change. But it's also something that you are working with us diligently, lovingly. So, Father, as we face this new year, let's be reminded of who we are, that we are your children. Let's also be reminded, God, that nothing is out of your control. You are in charge. You are God who will not change. And you will also be the God who will love us. Who can separate us from the love that is in Jesus Christ? Nothing. So let's stand firm on those truths. And let's stand firm. Let's grab them in our hearts and our minds. And let's train our spirit and our soul to be resting in those truths. Because that's where our strength comes from. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning. It was good to be with you and to have time with you again. It looks like that we will stay simply online for a little while until the situation around us will change. So we hope that this next week will be good for you, and today will also be a good start into holding on to what is true about you and about the circumstance about God. Stay in touch with us as you check online what's going on here at Grace Point, or sign up for our regular email so that we can be in touch with you. And we pray that God may bless you today and this coming week. And my blessing for you is just taken out of this letter that Peter wrote. In this verse 2, he ends this greeting. It said, "May grace and his love," or mercy, "abound to you." That's my wish for you this week.